Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
I don't know, this obviously doesn't happen anymore because you can't smoke inside, but do you remember at school, how often did you go into the staff room?
I don't think I ever went into the staff room.
You're not allowed in, are you? You have to wait outside.
Yeah. I had to go in like twice ever, I think.
Wow.
I can't remember.
You're in trouble, obviously.
Yeah, you don't go in there for doing good,
maybe.
No.
Oh, that could be when I put the... Yeah.
When you put the what?
Nothing.
When you put the what?
Nothing.
What did you do?
I put something down someone's back for a joke and it all went wrong.
What did you put?
We've discussed this before.
I've never discussed this with you,
look,
ever.
I'm not proud of it.
That means you mustn't have discussed it on air for at least 4 years.
I'm not proud of it.
What did you put down someone's back?
A hedgehog.
Just get a hedgehog from...
It was just there.
And
what?
It was
horrible. What, in the classroom?
What a horrible child. Seriously.
So you just happened to have a hedgehog and thought, oh, I know, I'll put
no,
it down.
I found it on the school field. And I was like, ha.
And whose back did you put
I
it
I can't remember.
How I bet you can.
I can't.
Was it not all prickly on your hands?
Yeah, it was disgusting. It was dead.
It was a dead hedgehog.
Scott!
I don't know why, it was a moment of madness. I was a really good kid at school, and then suddenly one day I just went mad and just got a hedgehog and put it down someone's back.
Was it a boy or a girl?
A boy.
I mean, whose back you put it in,
yeah.
Not the hedgehog.
No, I didn't check.
How do you check, man? How do you check whether a hedgehog's male?
I have no idea.
What was your punishment? Did you get lined? Like Bart, I must not put a hedgehog down.
It all went off. I had to go and see the headmistress and everything.
I'm not surprised.
Anyway, when you went into the staff room, right, you open the door and it smells of really strong coffee and there's loads of smoke billowing everywhere. It's like backdraft. What did they do in the staff room? Obviously, you can't do that now. It just probably just smells of strong coffee now.
Mm.
But, God, just smoke. You couldn't see. Anyway, now it's time for Dear Scott, where we answer your texts and emails. Are you still reeling from the hedgehog
I'm
story?
I'm just desperately trying to work out where I can get one from at short notice to just come up
drop
behind you and jump it down your t-shirt.
Like I said, don't ever do that. It's really unhygienic, and I was just a stupid, stupid boy.
Did the person who had the hedgehog...
Oh, can we leave it now?
Did they have to pull, like, prickles out their back for ages? I bet they would have done.
Probably.
They must have been wearing a very wide neck top for you to be able to fit a hedgehog down it.
It's like a school jumper. You just go, it's easy. Bing it. Anyway, right, so here's some correspondence read out by a posh lady from Radio 4 on Dear Scott. Thanks for your text, 81199, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk if you want to get in touch with us.
Dear Scott, Chappers, Becky and Geek Person who does the podcasts.
Oh, that's me, how rude.
Yeah.
I am currently off of Brussels at the moment.
Hi.
And can only be tormented by your podcast shows. I am loving them immensely. And have even converted a few Belgians to stop gobbling chocolates and drinking strong beers to listen to you for a few minutes. Winking smiley.
Now, is that a stereotype or is that true? Do they all just do that?
I think it might be slightly stereotypical.
Right.
That's all I do when I go there.
Poirot solves murders.
Yeah, that's true.
And then scoffs loads of chocolate.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Anyway, there is one really annoying thing about your podcasts. Mm. You have no ordering system in the title. That means when I get to listen to your backlog, I get them all higgledy-piggledy.
What, seriously? How old are you? Backlog. Anyway, so whose fault is this, that they're higgledy-piggledy?
Well, it's yours, because you're the podcast geek.
Chappers is grumpy before he's found out what he's grumpy about.
No, that
Becky
is...
Becky has bought her classified before it's even read out.
Oh, how confusing.
And, well, at least the score on what's occurring seems to make sense when it's done out of order.
That'd be the only thing that makes sense.
Oh, I am not... always grumpy, though, before I find out what I'm grumpy
that's
about
true.
Normally.
Please,
so.
Please, can you ask your geek podcast person...
Hello.
...to put some date or number thing at the beginning of the podcast title, not the end, so my sanity returns again. Love from a fellow Scot stuck in Brussels.
Right, OK, over to Becky for this one.
Why? I thought you were the podcast person.
I have no idea
he
what
he actually doesn't understand.
I've got no clue what they're talking about.
Can't you, and I can't you just rename it yourself? Do that.
Brilliant. Now back to giggling at backlog.
P.S. No, I certainly haven't forgotten you, Radio 4 lady. A special mistletoe kiss for you.
Ah, oh, OK. I'm sorry about that. that that's happening and it's all in the wrong order. If I understood what you meant, then I would be able to do something about it. But as I don't, I can't. I'm really sorry. Next.
Dear Scott, I'm currently having a dispute with my girlfriend, which I think you can settle.
Oh, God, OK.
Excellent.
When it comes to having a man crush, a phrase I think you coined, can a woman or a man have a man crush? Or can you only have a man crush if you're a man? And therefore, if you're a woman, you would have a woman crush accordingly.
Oh, it's far too early for this.
You'd prefer to answer the podcast one now, wouldn't you?
I think, doesn't it depend on your sexuality? Like, if you normally fancy men, then you just fancy men. But if you don't normally, then that is a man crush, am I right?
Yeah, sounds right to me, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
like, Becky doesn't normally fancy women, or do you?
Don't know.
Okay. Really? A bit early for that, isn't it? So you couldn't really have a man crush because you fancy men anyway, right?
Yeah, so I have a girl crush.
Yeah, you'd have a girl crush.
I personally believe both men and women can have a man crush. Please can you prove me right? Love the show and the posh lady and a horse for one bin. Carl and Anna, X.
A horse for one bin to you. No, sorry, you're wrong. Next.
Dear Scott, a radio station here in Melbourne, Australia, recently ran a promo which had words that sounded better with a British accent. And I was wondering how true it was.
We did this a while ago because there's some words and phrases that sound better in French, aren't
yes.
there? So they were doing words that sound better with a British accent.
Okay.
Could you, Becky, Chappers, and especially the posh lady from Radio 4, please say dirty and naughty? Love you, Stuart.
Okay, good.
Go on then.
After you then.
Dirty. Naughty. Now do it in Australian.
What? You do it. You can do it better Australian.
How
go
you
on.
Do it?
Dirty, naughty. I can't do it first thing in
that
the morning.
Was.
I think it's for after 8 o'clock.
I think it sounds better Australian.
Do you?
I yeah. think it sounds better West Country.
Dirty.
Dirty.
Naughty.
Naughty.
Next.
How do you live, Becky, compared to Scott's luxury lifestyle with knobs on?
Is that it? Over sure. to you.
It's very difficult.
Because my lifestyle is so flipping luxury, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
With knobs on.
With knobs on.
Knobs on. Yeah.
It is. Next.
Hey, matey.
Hi.
I got an iPod for my birthday on the 20th of November.
Oh, the MP3 players are available.
And have been listening to your podcasts ever since. It's a corker.
Thanks very much.
Your accent is exactly like my best friend from school. It's uncanny. I love listening to your voice, as he has a wicked sense of humour and always made me laugh too. It takes me back to happy days.
Right, so when you're listening to our show, you're imagining that it's your best friend from school when I talk. That's a little bit weird, isn't it?
Becky and Mark both sound like characters from Creature Comforts, another show I've been a huge fan of for years, mainly for the voices.
If you're going to be
that
one,
is that a compliment?
I think that's a compliment.
I'm trying to work out which ones we're most like. Do
right.
you think we're like Gary and Nigel the Snails?
Apart from if you're driving, right? Shut your eyes now and Becky's going to talk. Say something.
Do you think we're like Gary and Nigel the Snails or Nicola and Steve the Pigs?
Imagine it. Now, Chappers.
I think we're more the Pigs.
What about Trixie and Captain Cuddlepuss? That's a dog and cat that lie in bed and moan about stuff.
Does that make me that's Captain you. Cuddlepuss?
Yeah.
Entertainment on
that.
So many
levels. Oh, God.
Entertainment on so many levels.
Yep.
I really do laugh out loud in the car.
Well, thanks.
Today, on the way to work, you and Becky were doing your Aussie accents. I loved it.
Really?
I was impressed you got a few less common phrases, but not a g'day or crikey. Blimey, mate, you can do better next time. Cheers, Aussie Mark.
Right. Do they actually say g'day? In Australia, or is that a little bit stereotypical?
Yeah, they say good day.
Yeah, they say it.
They say it on Neighbours, I know that.
Well, that must mean it's true then.
Yeah. Is it like British people go around going, "Call blimey, governor, love a duck," like that?
All the time.
Same. Yeah. Do you know what they don't say in Japan, by the way? I was really shocked.
That's cheap.
No. They don't say moshi moshi.
Really?
Well, I didn't hear one person say it.
Did you try?
Yeah, that was the only phrase I knew in Japanese.
And what does it mean again?
My opening gambit to everybody was, moshi moshi, and they just looked at me weird.
Well, what does it mean?
I think it's just a general kind of hi, isn't it?
Right, so you went round to people saying moshi moshi without actually knowing what it meant.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never a good idea, is it?
Well, when we called up that shop to get the big booby cookies like 2 years ago, I just went moshi moshi and he said moshi moshi back, but no one did it in actual real life Japan. Oh, next.
Hi, Scott. I'm writing to you from Dallas, Texas, and have been listening to your podcast forever. Great show. All of you guys brighten up my dreary office cubicle every day. Smiley.
Thanks very much.
Last night, I saw a street that was named after you.
Eh?
I find it strange that I pass by this road at least twice a day, every day, and just now I noticed it. But today, I whipped out my phone and took some pictures as proof. See attached.
And there is a picture of a road named after me.
What? Scott Mills Road?
Scott Mill Road.
They left off the S in your name, which I don't get because all of the other streets around include a Mills.
Well, I'm quite happy with that. I mean, I think Scott Mill Road is close
that
enough.
That isn't named after you. That isn't your name.
It's close enough.
Yeah, but it and isn't. Also,
what?
But it isn't your name.
But it's close enough.
And also, I hate to break it to you, but the road is an exit off the President George Bush Turnpike, named after Daddy Bush, and charges me $20 in toll fees each week.
Oh, no.
That really doesn't surprise me that you charge people to go on your road.
I feel a bit bad now.
Anyway, love you. Or as Brittany would say, keep doing it.
Yeah,
Lindsay.
Keep doing it. I love London.
P.S. You do the best American accent.
Really?
Really? What evidence do we have of that? I don't think we do.
I would love to hear you do a Tommy Lee Jones / Billy Bob Thornton Texas accent one day.
I think we all would.
Go.
Who? Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah, or Tommy Lee Jones.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Bit more,
y'all.
Please.
Howdy, y'all.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so they went, there you are. So that was Dear Scott.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
So I was in Japan last week. Quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, when you're in Japan, what do? Karaoke.
Yeah.
Because they invented it.
They did.
And they're flipping good at it as well, I have to say.
It's in every bar.
It is, pretty much.
Yeah.
Lots of people who have obviously just come from work,
mm-hmm.
I find, in suits. That wasn't us. But their karaoke bars are amazing. This one we went to was massive, and it had, like, every song ever. You know, the book is normally quite thick. This was huge, this book, like, pages of songs, and really up to date as well. They had Womanizer in there.
Ooh.
Is that what you did?
I did do that, and I did Last Christmas by Wham.
God, you really treated them, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. And then my flatmate and my other friends who were there decided it would be fun to choose a song for me without telling me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sat there drinking my wine, okay? And they're like, you're on next. I'm like, okay, cool. What have you chosen? Oh, I can't tell you. Okay, fine. So what's the worst song, do you think, you could choose in a karaoke bar in Japan?
Oh.
There you are, in Tokyo, okay?
I don't know, somebody once picked Radiohead for me, which was a nightmare to do.
In Japan?
No, not in Japan, just in general.
Right, no, worse than that.
Okay.
Remember, this is not my fault, okay?
Right.
This is chosen for me by my friends.
Go on.
So, obviously, I have to wait for the intro to come on to find out what it is. So I stand up, I'm ready to go, and really hit the stage again, and then this comes on. It's a song called Turning Japanese. So there I am, I'm like, no, you can't do this. No, go on, and they're pushing me onto the stage. I'm not that familiar with the song. I am familiar with the chorus, but luckily the words are there to help me out on the screen. Imagine me doing this now. I got your picture of me and you.
You wrote I love you. I wrote you too. So is this going to be your signature tune now?
It looks like it.
Did the crowd like it?
They just looked a bit confused. Your eyes are hazel.
Go on, sing the chorus to us.
No.
Go on,
you know you want to go.
No, I can't. Just imagine me doing it. So there I am. There's a lot of people in this bar. Oh, my God.
Oh. You had quite a long wait for the bit you knew, didn't you?
I did.
Are you singing along at this point, or just looking as blank as you are doing now?
This bit's quite hard, actually. It's just... Oh, my God. How awful. I was wearing a wig as well.
Someone must have filmed it, surely.
No, I
said... Is there a video of it on your fancy phone?
No, because I said to my friends, as the intro was coming, I was like, no one's putting this on Facebook. So there's no videos available, sadly.
You sure?
I'm sure. Podcast. I have to tell you, if you're still in bed, it is flipping cold. So cold that Becky has decided that she wants to get a new fashion accessory to keep herself warm.
Well, it's not really a fashion accessory. It's just that it's so
freezing.
It's a necessity, yeah. I'm going to get a balaclava.
No, really not.
Why?
It's not acceptable.
Why not?
No.
I was trying to look for one yesterday and I couldn't find one anywhere.
It keeps
it's
you warm.
Wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Because it's only bank robbers that wear them.
Really, though?
Well, where have you seen it on sale?
Well, I haven't yet, but
right,
I haven't
good.
Looked that much.
No, that's not
I'm
right.
I'm going to bring it back.
Are you going to have...
What, a one-woman campaign?
Yeah. Are you going to have, like, eye holes?
No, I'm going to have just... a mouth hole as well.
There you go.
People need to see what I'm saying. What?
I just think it's funny.
I'll get you one as well.
I don't want
them
one.
Together.
No. I don't like I'm on Crime Watch. You'll never be allowed in Wetherspoons with a balaclava on to get your 99p pint.
Why?
Well, they make you take your baseball cap off, so the balaclava's one worse than that. I got told off for having wearing a cap in Wetherspoons once. I've removed it, obviously. I didn't keep it on. Well, I'm not going anywhere. But really not to the balaclava. The only other thing, this is a really, really bad idea. I know it's cold, but just deal with it on your face. Like, put your scarf up a bit, yeah? Radio 1
Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1. Right, got some Eurovision news. You know they had that TV show on, didn't they? Your Country Needs You.
Yeah, it did. With...
Oh, that was good, that.
I didn't see it. What?
I particularly liked it when Andrew Lloyd Webber was interviewing the president of Russia to get him to admit that he was going to fix the voting so he'd definitely vote for us.
Really? Amazing.
Mm. Well, I didn't see it, but Dave watched it all because Folkface had met Andrew Lloyd Webber as part of it, but they were edited out of the final.
Oh, no, they didn't make it on.
They didn't make the final cut.
That's terrible.
And he sat through the whole thing.
So, Eurovision news. We want to enter, don't we? But not for Britain. Because, like, let's face it, they can get Andrew Lloyd Webber writing the song. They can put it on TV. They can even get Graham Norton. We're still not going to win.
No.
Are we?
We're not very popular.
No, we're not going to win. So, we are going to enter for another country, which you can do. But I've got some bad news. Because remember we're going to do Macedonia?
Yes.
No, you can't.
Why?
Because we've missed, in typical style, we've missed the closing date.
Oh, rubbish.
Closing date was Christmas Day. And they've got new rules now in Macedonia, which means you have to actually be from there. Boring.
Oh, God, so, how ridiculous.
I know, it's ridiculous. So that's off. Strike Macedonia off the list. However, we need to find another country. I thought Slovenia, but the one that doesn't speak is now saying that they've pulled out this year.
Slovenia have pulled out?
I think
okay.
so.
So, are you checking other countries?
Well, now we're thinking Moldova.
Okay.
Because we could enter for them, I think. We need to finish writing the song. But I have now got some new hints on how to write the best song ever and win it for Macedonia at Eurovision.
You're going to write it and sing it? Wow.
What get you, no, Gary Barlow, over there?
I don't think I'm going to sing
You've
it.
You've gone from doing Turning Japanese at karaoke to being an amazing singer-songwriter that's going to win the Eurovision.
No, because does anyone hear Nahal? He gave these... he's been playing this a lot and saying about this. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
There is an Australian group called Axis of Awesome, and they have worked out that all hit records use the same four chords.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Recognise this?
Yeah, it's Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Great song, great song.
Yeah, but there's a few more. Listen.
My life is brilliant, my love is pure.
James Blunt.
I saw an angel, of this I'm sure. Wherever you go.
Same.
Whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. No one, no one, no one.
Oh my God.
Get in the way of what I'm feeling.
All the same.
Since the way you left me, I'm not pretending. No love, no hope, no glory, no happy ending. Thanks you a few for thought. Now I'm more lonely than before, but that's okay.
What's that?
People killing, people dying.
Oh, yeah.
Children hurt, women crying. If you practice what you preach, you can turn the other cheek. 'Cause you were amazing.
We did amazing things. If I could, I would.
See?
Right.
The same four chords every single time.
'Cause we are gonna be forever you and me.
And where I go, I just don't know. I gotta
What's
take
this?
It slow.
No idea.
I don't know.
Say you're gonna stay. Now I need to know it.
Don't know what that is.
And I TV embrace.
Hey?
They freeze, darling.
Oh, yeah. Maroon 5.
He just took a break, I think, with
yeah,
the
yeah.
last couple.
With or without
you too.
You whenever I fall at your feet.
We just need to work out what the four chords are now. And then we're on to a winner, aren't we?
Right.
Mm-hmm. By myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. Sometimes I feel like I don't have
You get the idea.
I'm starting.
So when we work out what the four chords are,
then we can write some lyrics.
Then, Moldova, here we come. Eurovision glory will be ours.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Right, it appears I was wrong. Balaclava.
The whole balaclava issue.
They're back.
We did try and tell you.
I was here first.
I made fun of Becky about 10 minutes ago, saying that she would look like a bank robber if she wore a balaclava. But she's saying that she gets so cold, it feels like her face will fall off, so therefore she wants one. Someone works in boarding kennels, Alex in Bristol, and says they're amazing, and their face would have fallen off without one.
There you go.
There we are. Get a balaclava, or your face will fall off.
You could do the voiceover for that ad.
So it's not just bank robbers who wear them, because it's really cold. Bikers have them as well, they wear them. You can get them in motorbike shops. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
It's Emma.
Hi Emma, where are you?
I'm in Glasgow.
How can I help?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, it's not just for bank robbers, because my four-year-old son's got a monkey face balaclava, and he wears it all the time.
What, even
so
indoors?
Well, if he could wear it indoors, he would wear it indoors.
He wears it a lot.
Yeah, he loves it. It's fantastic. And it keeps his ears warm and his head warm and his neck warm. It's genius. And, you know, you need to tell Becky that she could have got one, or she could get one with, like, either a pink fish head or an orange fish head.
Amazing. She's looking them up now.
I'm just looking them up. Too. You can get a dormouse one, a fish one, a monkey one. Monkey is my favourite so far.
The blue monkey's particularly good. We like the blue monkey.
I quite like that as well, because it makes you immediately less threatening, doesn't it? If you are robbing a bank and you've got a dormouse on your balaclava.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're four.
And
it's
if you're four.
It's not going to suspect you.
Well, you wouldn't be robbing a bank then, would you?
Well, you'd hope not.
No, you'd hope not. But does it make you laugh when your four-year-old's wearing it?
Yeah, lots.
It's good, isn't it?
Aren't they all genius? Isn't the problem, aren't they all done in kid sizes?
What are you saying about the size of my head, Mark?
I'm saying it's not the size of a four-year-old, Becky.
I could have 8 to 10.
Do you remember when you had that weird kind of virus thing, though? Your head went massive. It wouldn't fit in then, would it? But it's reduced in size somewhat now.
But so. Becky might not have got the virus thing if she'd been wearing the balaclava.
Oh, that's
exactly.
True.
To get a cold.
Good point.
That's true, actually. You know, I've just been to Japan. Everyone wears those masks because they don't want to get a cold or pass on their cold if they've got one, which I think is very responsible.
Did you wear one?
I did once, yeah, just to try one on. You can buy them anywhere.
You don't look that much of a freak, though, do you, in a balaclava as you do in a mask?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
Balaclavas are the way forward.
But I've never
Definitely.
Seen anyone in a mask like that rob a bank.
You're obsessed with bank robbers. What's wrong with you?
Well, I thought it was only bank robbers that wore them, and now it turns out there's bank robbers, bikers, and four-year-old kids wear them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks very much, and Happy New Year. Have a good day.
Happy New Year, Scott.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
I'm very excited it's back.
Oh, what's occurring?
Today on Oh, What's Occurring in the New Season, it's a Christmas TV special.
Oh, what's occurring?
Have you made a new scoreboard for the new season?
Not yet.
Right.
Did you watch lots of TV over Christmas and New Year?
I didn't see that much, actually, you know.
Too busy being on it.
Oh, yeah, you were on Mastermind.
Yeah. You've done Mastermind as well,
yeah.
Haven't you?
How did you do?
All right.
Yeah.
Second.
Was there a question about a mitten?
No, well, no, there was a question about a glove.
Okay. Well, it wasn't my one, was it?
No, it wasn't your one. But when he started asking the question about gloves, I kind of, to be honest, I lost interest and thought, I don't know the answer.
Oh.
And I gave an answer mitten, and it was, in fact, gauntlet.
Oh, easy mistake.
It is, actually.
What did you watch over Christmas, Becky?
Loads of stuff.
What?
Films and stuff. Mm. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I quite liked The Royal Family. It was quite good.
I still need to see that.
Wallace and Gromit. That was
brilliant.
I've
taped that as well.
I won't spoil it for you, then.
I'm halfway through a film, actually, that I taped over. I know. I taped a film, because I don't normally watch films.
No. What film was that?
It stars Tom Hanks about a bloke who lives in an airport.
I've seen
Terminal.
That, but I haven't seen the last 20 minutes.
No, neither
have I. We should watch
it
together. I fell asleep. It was on quite late.
Well, the only problem with that is, because it was on quite late, I taped it in my bedroom. So if we're going to watch it the last 20 minutes together, you have to get into bed with me to watch it.
You've offered me to come round to your bedroom before to see your amazing roof windows.
Right, let's get on with the game.
Not for anything else. He just said he's got these brilliant Ice and I Love roof windows, and he said he'd got them in his bedroom. And did I want to come round and have a look?
Oh, good.
Can I point out that isn't a standard line?
Let's see how much TV you really did watch over Christmas.
Oh, what's the curtain?
Play along at home on 81199. You know New Year's Eve?
Yes.
What show is always on TV every single New Year's Eve?
Jules Holland.
That's right. Hootenanny. Did you watch it?
What was
no,
that
I didn't,
voice?
But that was a really... That was quite a good Jules Holland impression. Go on, do it again.
Hootenanny. What were you doing on New Year's Eve?
I had a party at mine.
Oh.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have come anyway.
I was in Japan, actually, but I would have liked to invite.
I've got nice roof windows.
My Hootenanny question for you is very, very simple. How many times during the Hootenanny did they say the word Hootenanny? Which sounds really stupid if you say it a lot.
Well, it goes on for ages, doesn't it, the Hootenanny?
Have a guess.
35.
Chappers says 35. Becky?
No. 10?
10? Let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
If you missed Jules Holland's Hootenanny because you're out actually having fun, here it is. But how many times do they say Hootenanny?
Happy Hootenanny to you all. The Hootenanny, that's right.
Hootenanny, 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 Hootenanny.
That's good.
Hootenanny, 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 Hootenanny.
And if it were a little girl?
Hootenanny.
Hootenanny! The large Hootenanny, hello. Hootenanny! In the meantime, somebody who sang on this Hootenanny last year.
Hootenanny!
Is it our Hootenanny? Hootenanny!
Hootenanny!
Yeah, exactly! Hootenanny!
Hootenanny?
Hootenanny! Hootenanny!
Astonishing.
Who was doing most of those?
No, someone weird.
Someone with a strange voice trying to do an impression of Jules Holland. Sounded a bit like you, Scott.
Are you sure you were in Japan?
They said Hootenanny 42 times. Well done, Chappers.
42. Was there time for any music on that show?
What is a Hootenanny? Anyone know?
Is it New Year in a language?
I don't know. Mm. I've looked it up. Do you want to know? Hootenanny, noun, a collection of very old, grizzly-looking musicians who must suffer a TV presenter playing boogie-woogie piano all over their big hits. Have you seen that show ever? Seriously, he cannot walk past a piano without playing it, can he? He's like, now, ladies and gentlemen, Hootenanny, please welcome Adele. Adele comes on.
When the rain is blowing,
must join in on the Hootenanny.
And the whole world is on. I could offer you
Leave it, Jules. She's trying to sing.
Every single year it's the same, isn't it?
You're not a Jules Holland fan, then?
He's just... Well, like, let them sing. You just can't walk past the piano without... Oh, Hootenanny! It was Al Murray, by the way, doing all the weird hootenannies yeah. on the text. So, Chappers gets that point. Well done.
Ow! What's the kitty?
You know James Bond?
Yeah.
He was on TV over Christmas.
Okay.
It was The Spy Who Loved Me with Roger Moore as 007. Mm-hmm. He was good. Did you see it?
No.
Ever seen it?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No. I don't want to ruin it for you, but... plot spoiler alert, madman wants to rule the world, James Bond stops him, cops off with a few people on the way, the end. Sorry if you've recorded it and you haven't watched it yet.
I've managed to get through so many years of my life not knowing that, and now you've just ruined it for me.
Seriously, get over it, it's like from the 70s, if you've not seen it by now. So, I've done a plot spoiler. Deal with it. My question is this. In The Spy Who Loved Me, how many times did James Bond cop off with someone?
Now, hang on. How does this work?
We guess.
No, no, yeah, no. But if it's the same girl he cops off with, does each copping off count?
Yes.
Okay. Nine.
Chappers is saying nine. Becky, what do you think? Did he Roger Moore?
Seven. I didn't even warrant a laugh at, did it?
No, it didn't. I have the feeling that this whole question was designed so he could do that gag. And he didn't even have his drum beat ready.
So, Becky's saying seven, Chappers are saying nine. Mm. Let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Here is James Bond in The Spy Who Loved Me, but how many times does he have a bit of, how's your father?
Money, Penny. Where's 007?
He's on a mission, sir, in Austria.
Well, tell him to pull up.
Oh, James, I cannot find the words.
Well, let me try and enlarge your vocabulary. Are you quite sure I can't persuade you to stay the night? When one is in Egypt, one should delve deeply into its treasures.
If there's anything you would like, anything at all?
Well, I had lunch, but... I seem to have missed dessert.
Oh. It's getting cold.
Is there anything I can do to warm you up?
You saved my life. Thank you, James. I'm sorry. Why don't you lie down and let me look at it?
Let's get out of these wet things.
But James...
007. Bond, what do you think you're doing? Keeping the British end up, sir.
Well, there we are. It was six.
You missed the one out where he asked her to go up and look at his roof windows.
Who was he copping off with in the last one?
What do you mean?
Was that a man? There's two men in there somewhere.
You mean in the second bit?
Yeah.
I noticed that as well. Hang on.
Are you quite sure I can't persuade you to stay the night? When one is in Egypt, one should delve deeply into its treasures.
Yeah.
That's a very deep-voiced woman.
It is, isn't it? Actually, what happened? He meets a contact in some kind of Bedouin tent in Egypt, and the other bloke asks him if he wants to stay over, and then a hot-looking girl comes along, and that's when he talks delving into the treasures.
This has made it even worse. Two men and a woman.
So, Becky gets that point. Well done.
Oh! What's the kidding?
One more in our Christmas TV special. You know Gavin and Stacey?
Yeah.
I love that over Christmas. Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
See it?
Yes, I did see it.
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah, very.
Very simple question for you. How many times does Nessa say, oh, what's occurred in the Christmas special of Gavin and Stacey? Becky?
None. Do you remember when we did this before and we made Pippa upstairs watch a whole series and there was none in there, so I'm just going to go with none again. I think we've made it up.
She does say it sometimes.
She does, yeah. She did say it.
How many times?
I think she said it twice.
Twice.
I think she said it.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Here's the fabulous Nessa off Gavin and Stacey, but how many, oh, what's the kidding, though?
Rudolph. I was the boy.
Neil?
Yeah. Oh, Gav, I'm not being funny. You've got to sit on the knee. It's the rules.
That's what I say. It's the same company.
Oh, Gav, spare me the details. Where to are you going with this? All right, Gav, what's that pertaining? Oh, Rudolph. I was the boy.
Let's
do it. Oh, Gav. Oh, Gwen, I was the baby. Oh, Pam, if you want to make something of it, I'll see you outside. No problem. Oh, Neil, I'm in the bar. Oh, 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 Merry Christmas. Oh, Dave.
Oh, Stace, you do my bath.
Yeah.
The razor's by the sink.
Oh, where to are you going? Oh.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, what's the kidding? Oh, when?
You take Neil, the baby. I'm going for a smoke.
Le Cavalier residence.
All right, what's the kidding?
So, it was zero. Because
what?
She needed to say, oh, what's occurring? And those... That
she
kind
said
of,
it twice.
No,
she just said, what's occurring?
She didn't say, oh.
It's an urban myth. We've just made it up.
I think we have.
Glad the new season's starting, as all of them do, is a fix.
So, absolutely no, oh, what's occurring in that. So, Becky gets
rubbish.
The point. Congratulations. Yay. She never says it. Let us know how you did.
Rubbish.
81199. Don't be a bad loser.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, now this is our game, which we do now and again. It's a bit like Dragon's Den, but with a twist. It's very different to Dragon's Den, actually.
Yeah.
We've got some kind of adverts here for some new inventions. I've got two for you today and two inventions for you tomorrow. I want to know if you think they're real inventions or did we just make them up, all right?
Yeah.
You can text in, play along at home on 81199 if you fancy it. So here's your first one, okay? First invention, is this real or not?
Do you have a problem with your colleagues stealing your lunch from the office fridge? Do your housemates keep nicking your food? Well, now, there's something which will keep even the hungriest thief away from your grub. It's a lunch bag with mould! Except it's not real mold. It's a pattern on the bag which makes it look like your food's gone off. Yes, that tasty ham now looks like it would kill you if you ate it. The thieving gits won't be snuffing that in a hurry.
Wow, so that's the moldy lunch bag. It's like a normal bag that you would put your lunch in, but it's got a picture of some mould on it, so it looks like the food has gone off. Put it in the fridge. Ain't no one going to nick that, are they?
Oh, that's revolting.
We do have a problem with that at Radio 1 as well. Do you remember?
No.
That woman on the first floor, someone nicked her kiwi fruit. She went mad. It was almost a police matter.
Management office was in chaos for about 3 weeks.
This is the last email before I call the police. Just own up. Who stole my kiwi fruit?
They got the security. They were going to get the security tapes and everything.
Yeah, they're going to get CCTV on. So, the mouldy lunch bag, is that real, do you think, or did we make up that invention?
Well, surely they're just going to throw it out rather than eating it now, so you don't win either way. I think it's made up.
Okay. So you think the mouldy lunch bag is made up?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you in a minute. I've got another one first.
Okay.
Check this out.
Have you recently split up with your boyfriend? Are you crying yourself to sleep at night? Do you wake up in the morning and the pillow's all soggy? From your tears... Well, help is at hand with the tissue pillow. The tissue pillow is just like a normal pillow, but cleverly incorporates an integrated refillable Kleenex dispenser. Now, when you're sobbing yourself to sleep, thinking of what might have been with the man of your dreams, you can just reach over and pull out another tissue. Brilliant! The tissue pillow is also very useful at this time of year, when you have a cold and a runny nose. No more snotty pillows with the tissue pillow. Yes, I know I'd love a handy dispenser of Kleenex in my bed. Thanks, tissue pillow!
So there we are, that was the tissue pillow. It's like a normal pillow, but you can pull out tissues. So if you have just split up with somebody or you've just got a big old cold like Becky's got at the moment, hey presto, no more soggy pillows.
I so need one of these. Do you think they do travel-size tissue pillows so I could just wear it constantly?
At all times.
Just pull my tissue out whenever I need one?
So the tissue pillow, is that real or made up?
I'm going to say real.
Okay.
Yeah, Becky. I think it's real. I hope it's real.
So you're saying the mouldy lunch bag isn't real.
Yeah.
And the tissue pillow is.
Yeah.
We'll find out after James Morrison. Oh, the suspense.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, I got a really nice Christmas present from my flatmate, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to say thank you very much to him for that amazing present. It was my best present by far this Christmas.
This doesn't sound like you. This doesn't sound like you.
I just wanted to say it on air because he's put a lot of thought into it and obviously spent some money, and I really appreciate it.
What was it?
I just want to say what a good mate he is to me. A trip to New York.
What?
I know. He's promised we can go to New York.
He's bought you a trip to New York?
He says that we can go, yeah. Whenever I can, whenever, you know, we're both free.
Can I say what you bought him?
Yes, I think you should.
Because you bought it when we went shopping together. A dressing gown.
Well, so?
What?
It's a really nice dressing gown.
You bought him a dressing gown.
And I got him something else, which he hasn't opened yet. Don't spoil it, because you know what it is.
So...
Does it, when combined with the dressing gown, equal a trip to New York?
Not really, does it?
I don't think that's the way Christmas presents work. You should just be grateful for what you get. So,
Does he feel really let down?
No.
What was his face like when he opened his dressing gown?
I don't know.
Not when he opened his dressing... When he opened his... I don't want to know that.
I wasn't there. But he said it was really nice. He sent me a text. And I got him Harry Hill's TV Burp Gold, so don't be complaining.
Free. That was free.
It wasn't free.
It got sent in.
Don't say that.
That copy that they sent in to you?
No, I bought it and then they sent it in to me, so I did actually pay for it. Thank you.
Yeah, and I gave the other copy to Greg James for his birthday.
Did you?
Yeah.
So a free copy of Harry Hill's TV Burp, a dressing gown and something mysterious,
yeah,
all in exchange for a trip to New York.
That's really nice. So thank you very much.
So do I. You've done
it right. Though, it's not going to happen, is it?
Why?
It's not going to happen.
Has he not actually bought the tickets?
No.
So he's just said he'll pay for a trip to New York. Yeah. Oh, it's one of those that will happen then.
Because I was just talking to the one that doesn't speak. Now, he said to his missus, who doesn't speak...
how does that work?
They mime. They play charades every night.
A year and a half ago, he was like...
I pretend to get out of a box.
I think it was her birthday. Was it her birthday? And he made her a lovely card. Oh, I'll take you shopping in New York. Got one of them holiday brochures and just... snips some pictures out of New York landmarks and made her a card and said, yeah, we'll go. Still not been. 18 months ago, that was. It's not going to happen. So I think that he actually is better off with the dressing gown and the Harry Hill DVD and the other mysterious present, which I can't name at the moment.
If you say so.
I think so. Podcast. So we've got two inventions. I just wanted to know whether they were real or whether we just made them up. It's the mouldy lunch bag, where it's just a normal... plastic bag that you'd carry your lunch in, only there's a picture of some mould in it, so when you put it in the fridge, no one nicks your lunch. Quite good. Someone wants to know if the Kiwi Bandit is still at large. I don't think they caught...
I don't think they were ever caught,
no.
Were they? I don't think. Or the Kiwi fruit ever found.
No. So he is still at... Well, I say he. Could be a...
What do you know?
I don't know anything. I don't know anything.
Were you ever questioned?
No. Is that why Greg James writes his name... on all of his stuff he puts in the fridge?
Yeah, I think so.
Because of the Kiwi.
But he's scandalous. Like, he writes his name on stuff and doesn't want anyone to steal it, but he's been taking my bran flakes for the last month and a half. I haven't told him that I know, but I know it's him.
How do you know?
Because he also...
You can't just go accusing people of nicking your bran flakes willy-nilly.
Because he uses the girl who sits next to me's bowl and spoon, and he forgot to put it back one day, and she went mad. So not only does he steal the flakes, he also steals the cereal as well. He's quite cool being on early breakfast. Look at the life he leads.
Why do you have bran flakes at work?
I'll tell you what, people will just be thinking it's generally cool to be at Radio 1 with these stories. Wow.
Why does she have bran flakes though when she works in the afternoon?
Healthy snack.
So okay. Rock and roll here, isn't it? And I know for a fact he's been nicking my bran flakes.
Mr. G from Summer Heights.
You are Mr. G. He's going to become a police medder.
That's what I wrote on the water machine, because people were putting their bottle up and all the germs were going everywhere.
This is how rock and roll it is. Hannah Morrison, who's reading the news this morning, got very upset earlier when there was no Earl Grey in the building.
You see, I always take that from Newsbeat, because it's the only machine that's got it. There's probably some in my desk if she wants some.
Okay. We're actually on the radio.
I know.
Hello.
It's only fair people know how showbiz it is.
Yeah. So, the mouldy lunch bag and the tissue pillow. Normal pillow, but you can pull tissues out of it. Brilliant if you've just split up with somebody or if you've got a big cold. They are both real.
Both real?
Both of them are real. Oh. I will now show you pictures as evidence of that. Say what you see. Say what you see.
I'm seeing a girl lying on a pillow with a tissue at her nose and a tissue also sprouting out of the pillow. Amazing. So that's the next one ready for her to take.
Really good.
When she sneezes.
Yeah.
I've closed down the picture of the mouldy lunch bag. But it was just a sandwich in a bag with some green crayon drawing thing on the front.
The mould doesn't look that realistic. But I think it would be enough to put people off. Radio 1
Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1. So, yes?
I love that during that record you tried to justify to all of us what a nice dressing gown it was that you bought your flatmate.
Really nice. Mm. I would be pleased to own a dressing gown of that quality.
You'd rather have a trip to New York, right, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm. Carl in Bristol's been on. Got his niece a trip to Monkey World last summer. They still haven't been yet either. It's not going to happen, is it? What's Monkey World? Where's that? Is it? There's a PR woman in the corner going, it's brilliant.
I went there over Christmas.
Where? Did you?
To Monkey World. Where it's in Dorset. It's really cool. It's amazing. They like rehouse all the little monkeys that have been treated badly around the world.
Now, if you get
that,
if you get that monkey balaclava we were talking about
that
earlier,
would really freak
you
him
would,
out. If
you
I
would
to,
fit in.
Yeah, went to Monkey World dressed as a monkey. I didn't think about that.
Now he would love the Monkey World. Should I get him a trip to Monkey World?
It's really cheap. It's only about a tenner.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll do that then. Because he was very disappointed because in Japan, I promised that we could go to a restaurant. No, that's not him. Oh, it is him.
What does he say?
Something
he's early. Just typing in his passcode. Yeah.
My dressing gown isn't all that.
He wanted to go to a restaurant where the waiters are monkeys. But there is one. It's somewhere in Japan. But we couldn't...
The waiters are monkeys?
Yes.
Proper monkeys?
Yeah, because he's...
That can't be right.
Yes.
I think they're the sort of monkeys that the Monkey World is trying to help.
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, but...
I don't think that sounds very nice.
Well, we couldn't find it anyway, so we didn't go.
Right.
Instead,
so
we
you did look for it?
No, well, I... yes, but...
Oh, this link's gone horribly wrong
gone
for
really
you,
wrong,
hasn't
it? Hey?
Make it sound like you support animal cruelty.
No, I don't. There are only waiters. That's not cruel.
Oh, no!
Scott!
They get tips. So we didn't go there anyway, because we couldn't find it. Instead, we went to a ninja restaurant where you get served by ninjas. Really good.
Are they turtles?
No, they're just, like, Japanese
people.
You went
to a turtle cruelty restaurant?
No, I went to a Japanese restaurant where ninjas served you. And it was really good because I said, can I have a white wine, please? She came back double quick. I was like, that was quick. She's like, oh, that's because I'm a ninja. Really good. So I've got many more stories from the ninja restaurant if you want me to continue, but maybe I should just play another record. I think maybe I should, actually, because that didn't really go well.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.